Welcome back to Exploring America State by State. Last time we wrapped up in Massachusetts, and today we're crossing a line so short you'll barely notice it, right into Rhode Island. Don't let the size fool you. This is the smallest state in the country, but it packs more coastline, more history, and more personality per square mile than almost anywhere else you'll drive through. Rhode Island is known as the Ocean State, and that name isn't marketing, it's just true. Nearly 400 miles of shoreline wrap around this place, and no matter where you're standing, saltwater is never far away. It's the state that gave America its first taste of the Gilded Age, where robber barons built summer cottages the size of European palaces. And it's also a state of scrappy fishing towns, secret beaches, and a food culture that will absolutely change how you think about a clam. Start your visit with Ocean Drive in Newport. One of the most photographed coastal roads in New England, it winds past crashing surf, private estates hidden behind stone walls, and turnouts where you can just sit and watch sailboats drift by. From there, Route 1A hugs the coast down toward Narragansett and Point Judith, giving you long stretches of open water on one side and old fishing villages on the other. If you have an extra hour, loop out to Beavertail State Park on Jamestown, where a rocky point drops straight into the Atlantic, and a lighthouse stands watch over some of the best sunset views in the state. Newport is where most people's Rhode Island bucket list starts, and for good reason. The Breakers, the summer mansion built by the Vanderbilt family, is basically a European palace dropped onto the American coastline, and touring it feels like stepping into another century. Right next to the mansions runs the Cliff Walk, a 3.5-mile public trail that hugs the edge of the bluffs, with ocean on one side and the backyards of billion-dollar estates on the other. In Providence, the state capital, you'll find the Rhode Island State House with its marble dome. And just outside the city, Block Island offers a quieter, wilder kind of beautiful, with dramatic bluffs and beaches that feel like a completely different world just a short ferry ride away. Providence's Union Station deserves its own moment. This isn't a functioning train hub anymore in the way it once was, but the building itself is a stunning piece of American railroad history, with its row of brick and stone terminals sitting right across from the State House. Today it's home to offices, restaurants, and event spaces, but walking past it still gives you a real sense of the golden age of American rail travel, when Providence was a major stop between Boston and New York. Now, one experience you should build your entire visit around if you can, is Waterfire. This is Providence's signature nighttime spectacle, where more than 80 bonfires are lit right in the middle of the rivers that run through downtown. Braziers float on the water, torch-lit boats drift past, music plays from hidden speakers along the riverbank, and thousands of people just walk quietly along the water in the glow of the flames. It sounds simple, but in person, it's genuinely magical. Waterfire happens on a set schedule. Typically full lightings roughly every 2 to 3 weeks between May and November, with a few extra dates added around holidays. Check the official Waterfire calendar before you plan your trip, because building even one evening around this event will make your whole Rhode Island stop unforgettable. Newport does have its share of tourist traps worth knowing about. Combo mansion tickets sound like a deal, but if you only want to see one or two, buying individually is often cheaper. Down near the Cliff Walk entrances, you'll find vendors charging tourist prices for the same frozen lemonade you can get cheaper just a few blocks inland. And parking near the main attractions can turn into a real scramble in peak summer, with private lots charging premium rates. A little planning saves you real money here. Because Rhode Island is so compact, RV travel here is refreshingly easy. You can cross the entire state in under an hour on I-95, and most major attractions sit within a short drive of each other. The challenge is Newport itself, where historic streets are narrow and parking for larger rigs is limited. So many RV travelers park just outside downtown and use local transit or rideshare to get into the historic district. Block Island does not allow large vehicles on the ferry, so plan to leave your RV on the mainland if you want to visit the island. For paid camping, Fisherman's Memorial State Park near Point Judith is a favorite, with full hookup sites close to the ferry docks and beaches. Burlingame State Park in the western part of the state offers a large wooded campground right on a scenic pond, and it's one of the most affordable options in the state. For free or low-cost camping, Arcadia Management Area offers primitive, rustic sites deep in Rhode Island's forested interior. though amenities are minimal, so come prepared. True free camping is limited in this state, so booking ahead for state parks during summer is strongly recommended. If camping isn't your style, Newport has no shortage of beautiful places to stay. The Ocean House is a grand historic resort right on the water, with the kind of old money elegance that fits the town perfectly. Hotel Viking, sitting right in the heart of the historic district, gives you walkable access to mansions, restaurants, and the harbor. For a more relaxed budget option, Providence's downtown hotels tend to run cheaper than Newport's waterfront properties, while still keeping you close to Waterfire and the city's restaurant scene. RIPTA, the state's public bus system, connects Providence, Newport, and most towns in between, and it's a genuinely useful way to skip Newport's parking headaches. The MBTA commuter rail links Providence directly to Boston, which is handy if you're combining episodes of this trip. And if Block Island is calling your name, ferries run regularly from Point Judith and Newport, carrying foot passengers and bicycles across the Sound in under an hour. Rhode Island's food culture deserves real respect. Clam cakes and chowder are the backbone of any seafood shack menu here, and locals will argue passionately over clear versus red versus the classic creamy New England style. Stuffies, stuffed quahog clams packed with seasoned breadcrumbs, are a Rhode Island original you won't find quite the same way anywhere else. Dell's frozen lemonade is practically a state symbol, and an awful, a thick ice cream drink from Newport Creamery is a local rite of passage. And don't leave without trying a New York system hot wiener, a small, snappy hot dog loaded with meat sauce, mustard, onions, and celery salt, served up fast at diners that have been doing it the same way for generations. Beyond Waterfire, Rhode Island rewards travelers who slow down. Rent a bike on Block Island and circle the entire island in an afternoon, past lighthouses and bluffs with almost no traffic. Catch a summer concert at the Newport Folk Festival or Newport Jazz Festival, both born right here and still drawing legends every year. Take a beginner sailing lesson in Newport Harbor, one of the great sailing towns in the country, and get out on the water the way this whole state was built to be experienced. Summer is Rhode Island's showcase season. Beaches are warm, Waterfire lightings run regularly, and the festival calendar is packed with folk, jazz, and food events almost every weekend. Book your Newport hotel or campground well in advance, since this is peak season and popular spots fill up fast. Weekday visits will save you both money and crowds compared to weekend trips. Rhode Island can be pricier in Newport, where hotels and dining lean upscale, but Providence and the rural areas balance that out nicely. Budget travelers can eat well on clam shacks and diners for well under $20 a meal, camp for around $30 to $50 a night at state parks, and still splurge on one nice dinner or mansion tour without breaking the bank. Overall, expect costs similar to Greater Boston, with more affordable pockets if you spread your time beyond the Newport waterfront. Cell coverage is strong across Providence, Newport, and the I-95 corridor, so streaming, navigation, and calls should work without issue in most of the state. Coverage does get spottier out on Block Island, and in some of the rural forested interior near Arcadia, so download your maps ahead of time if you're heading to those quieter corners. That's Rhode Island, a tiny state that somehow holds Gilded Age mansions, floating bonfires, and some of the best clam cakes in America, all within an hour's drive of each other. Next time, we're heading into Connecticut, the land of quiet New England towns, ivy-covered college campuses, a coastline dotted with historic seaports, and a surprising amount of maritime history waiting just off the highway. Pack the cooler, and I'll see you there.